You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Monday. I have one question for you, Jay. Will they or won't they play?
You know, Steve, I seriously thought about just not coming in today. You know what, Steve? You do the show. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm
this
tired.
This is our COVID 24/7 report.
I'm tired. I don't know. There's so much flashing through social media right now. You have people saying that they know what's going to happen, and you know they know that the Pac-12 and the Big Ten are going to cancel their seasons tomorrow. And I don't think anybody really knows.
Hold the phone on that one, because in the last few minutes,
right? I don't think anybody really knows. Yeah. For instance, I think in the Pac-12 there's 12 people who have an idea. Mm-hmm. Those are the 12 presidents of the universities, mm-hmm. presidents and chancellors. They're the ones that know. And so I think anybody else who says they know, I think they're just, maybe they think they know, and mm-hmm. if somebody's told them what they, you know, choose to believe.
So you've been in this business a long time, both sides of the aisle. I've been in it 30 some years. When you know you have a story that's kind of, sort of, it's not a story, right?
It's not a story yet.
Not a story at all.
It's not.
Kind
so,
of, it's,
you know, I tweeted over the weekend that it's not looking good. You know, when it came out that
the MAC,
that there was a meeting of the commissioners of the Power Five conferences, yeah. The MAC had canceled on Friday. You just were starting to hear all this stuff, and then all of a sudden, things blow up. Was it last night?
Yeah, the Big 12.
With the players?
Big 10.
With all the players and stuff,
yeah,
last
right.
night?
Because they want to play.
Because that came out and they want to play. So, look, in the end, the players aren't going to make this decision.
Yeah, right.
I expect universities will listen to them. They'll respect their opinion. But this is going to be about the science, about the medical aspect of this.
The medical aspect. And don't you think that there's a huge liability at the end of the day that they have to be well aware of?
Right. But they also, you know, also the information about this disease is so new.
Mm-hmm.
How much do they really know? So I think there's a reasonable chance tomorrow that the season, at least the Pac-12 season, will not be canceled.
As of tomorrow. However, there's Wednesday.
Right. And they may say, look, we're not canceling, but we're not saying we're having a season. They may just,
right.
you know, there was this
Time
report
off.
That just came out in about the last half hour. There was a doctor who's advising one of the doctors who's advising the Pac-12, and he was on a radio show, and he said that they've submitted their recommendation to the Pac-12, and that it basically says not to have any contact, you know, no practices or no contact practices and no competitive activities until we figure this out some more.
They just need more time.
I think they're going to pause it and take more time.
More time. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. We'll come back to this conversation. Unless, of course, Kurt, who's on the line, wants to talk to us. Kurt, how are you?
Daughter from South Point, and she went to Boise State. The Mountain West canceled their football for this year, and all the other fall sports are postponed. Be on the email that they got from their soccer coach.
Right, and we heard that just a little while ago. And the thing about that, Kurt, is, in my opinion, is that the non-Power Five schools are in a different kind of a pinch on this, because they need the money from those non-conference games that the Power Five schools were going to play. The finances don't make sense for them to try and play in this situation. And that's my take on that, why the Mountain West, the MAC, and some of the other, you know, and some of the smaller independent schools are saying we're not playing. Financially, it doesn't make sense because they've lost big paydays just by the big conferences saying we're not going to play those conference games. Hawaii's losing some money they had three games against Pac-12 teams, and they're not going to get that money.
Right. That's what it boils down to in the end. It's all about the money.
Kurt, I know, so how disappointed are you in hearing this? Because you kind of enjoyed going to see your granddaughter.
absolutely. So all the close ones that were going to be, you know, Vegas, Albuquerque, San Diego, all the ones that we could drive are out unless they, you know, depending on what they do with the spring season.
That's unfortunate. You know, really, who do you feel bad? Who do you feel the worst for? The athletes.
The kids, yeah.
The kids. Because, you know, especially the kids in the so quote unquote non-revenue sports, because, you know, yes, they're doing it for the scholarship, but they're doing it for the love of the sport. And you know, to not be able to play their sport, I just feel so bad for them.
Well, yeah, because they got one spring game in, and then everything got canceled, and she came home, about the 15th of March. And so then she laid around and did her schoolwork and stuff, but wasn't working as hard on her athletic stuff as she needed to be. And that's been the good thing about her going back early and being around her teammates.
Do you anticipate her taking another year on the other back end? I assume that's what they're going to give them, another year to play.
They may, but she's got a 10-year plan, Steve, that if she can graduate and get what she needs with her degree, she's moving on.
Yeah. I think that's what's going to happen to a lot of the athletes.
I would expect that from a lot of those athletes to just say, I'd love to have the extra year to compete, but I've got a life plan. And that, you know, that's probably the best way to take that.
Well, and the reality is there's some things for women in soccer after college, but it's not a lot. It's like everything else. What, maybe the top 1-2% go on?
Right.
And then, you know, you take your degree and you go get a job and, you know,
the rest is history.
You move on, yeah. You know, and you have the memory of playing, you know, your college sport. And that's you know, a lot of times the best you can do.
Yes, it is.
Okay,
yeah, she wants to be a physical therapist, so she's got a plan to keep right on going through school and get her degree.
Great.
Well, all the best to her, Kurt. We appreciate you calling.
Thanks for listening, Kurt.
Hey, you guys, thanks. Thanks a lot for the drive home time. You are a great relief from all the other political stuff and all the COVID stuff. I really enjoy listening to both of you.
Great. Thank you, Kurt.
Thanks a bunch.
Appreciate it. Who would have thought that? No COVID. Let's talk about that. Well, it's going to be with us for a while. It's funny. We talked about the delay. I think it gives you some more time. That's what they're buying.
And that gets to the point that I was making, you know, before we went on, and we can probably talk about this a little more. And, you know, our buddy John Wilner, you know, mentioned this, and I'm not saying, you know, I thought this too, right? I have my own brain, but, you know, why is everybody in such a hurry to cancel stuff right now? You know, and why would why does the Pac-12 or the Big Ten feel that they need to cancel right now? They've still got time to figure some things out. And I think that's what this doctor is saying. Just give us a little more time and we might figure it out.
Part of that is we talked last week and you said, okay, they have a 10-game schedule. However, if they played 8 games, that's just as good.
I think I've heard, maybe I saw it in the Pac-12, when the Pac-12 announced its schedule, they announced some tie-breaking stuff that I think they're willing to accept 7 as a full season.
Yeah. 7, 2, 3, you need games. We'll take a quick break here, talk to Doug Haller of The Athletic on the other side here on 1030 The Voice.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized by Forbes as one of Arizona's best credit unions 3 years in a row. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer low rates on loans, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit hughesfcu.org/best. Certain restrictions apply, insured by NCUA.
Time to update those old kitchen cabinets? Call the Window Depot today. The Window Depot is not only the number one warehouse for windows and doors, we now have a great selection of kitchen and bath cabinets at Tucson's best prices. The Window Depot is Tucson's top spot for granite and quartz countertops to finish the new kitchen or the replacement of that old worn out Formica. So call us today at 290-8545 or 622-6430. The Window Depot, windows, doors, granite, and new kitchens.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And now on the phone we have Doug Haller of The Athletic. Doug, how are you?
Hey, I am doing fine under the circumstances. It's been kind of a crazy day in college sports, but Yeah, I guess that's no different than the last few months, I guess.
Yeah, I would say than the day before and the day before that and the day before that.
I assume you're making some calls, and this has been a crazy day. Like you said, who do you believe and who's been right? Maybe some people 10 hours ago were right about the Pac-12, and maybe things have changed in the last 10 hours.
Yeah, it is difficult to kind of figure out what's true and what's not. As I'm sure you guys discussed, I think Dan Patrick may have started it on his radio show right this morning by saying the Big Ten has decided to at least postpone the college football season. I don't know if canceled is the right word, but, at least postpone it until possibly the spring. And I know the Detroit Free Press also reported that. But since then, the Big Ten has said that no official decision has been made. But none of this has looked really good, and I know maybe releasing the schedule, the Pac-12 releasing the abbreviated conference-only schedule provided some hope, and that was a good day. I mean, it was like the first day where you could actually, as a journalist, write about real football happening, but I think if you just kind of looked at the state guidelines and everything in place, this always seemed like a possibility, a real possibility, and maybe, a place where we were headed.
Doug, this is Jay Gonzalez. We've never met, and so I want to say, great to meet you this way. But, I mean, in the end, the science and the medical, aspect of that, is going to have to be the decision maker on this. But what do you think all the coaches and the players speaking out the way they have been, really in the last 24 hours, just in the last few minutes, James Franklin posted something about, just delay things till we can figure this out and let's play. Can that have an impact? Does it have an impact? What are your thoughts on that?
I agree with what you said to start, that the science will ultimately have the final say. It couldn't hurt. And maybe that's what, gave the Big Ten pause today. All the reaction that came, that started actually from Trevor Lawrence and Clemson and kind of filtered out across the country, maybe that's what gave them pause to say, okay, let's really think about this before. And if you do think about it, I don't know if it makes sense just to pull the plug on it right yet. I mean, it's August. It is late in the game for the college football season, but, maybe things look differently a month from now. I don't know. I'm not optimistic about that. I'm hopeful, but maybe it does. And maybe we could look at a football season that starts, mid to late October. I don't know. But, maybe the answer is just to kind of put it on hold. I know there's a lot of variables with that as far as workouts, what can be done, what can't be done. Guys who are trying to figure out whether they need to train for the draft. There are a million things that need to be sorted out. But I think this is probably a last-ditch effort by the players and the coaches to say, like, hey, look, if you want to play this fall, we need to speak up now because it's circling the drain pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think that the last-ditch effort we're coming up against it. There's no question about it. If they played an eight-game schedule, Jay talked about it, maybe a seven-game, as long as they play some games, substantial games, 7 to 8, I think it's okay. You get into mid-December, and then you still have a decent season to kind of look at things.
Well, and I think that's part of the plan when they release the 10-game schedule. They put the bye week in there. They have the extra week before the conference championship game in case, things get postponed or, a team can't play. It gives them a little bit of flexibility. I had someone tell me, inside the conference that, it's a 10-game schedule on paper, but, people would be thrilled if they could get just 8 games in. I agree with you, Steve. I think, if you have a starting point and you get going, maybe you do have to hit pause during the season. And maybe you can't get the full 10 in, but, even a 6-game season would be a season, I think. It just seems like we learn something new every day. And, today we learned about the heart condition, was it myocarditis, that has been, they found some evidence in some Big Ten players and some other players around the country. That's from an ESPN report. And that's something that, there's just not a lot of scientific, studies on something
right
like that. And you just don't know, how big a deal that is at this point. It's impossible to know how big a deal that is at this point. So it just seems like something new comes up every week that just complicates this even more.
Is it too much to ask that this meeting that took place among the five commissioners yet, you know, Power Five commissioners yesterday, that out of that came at least some sense of, guys, let's kind of do this together and figure it out. I mean, is that a lot?
That sounds like such a basic, like, reasonable question to ask, doesn't it? I mean, it really does. It sounds like, I mean, can we have some unity on this? But I don't know. It just seems like, I mean, man, you had the head coach in Nebraska saying that they were willing to go on outside the Big Ten if they have to.
Right.
And that's the frustrating thing, I think, with college football, both inside the sport and outside, is just, you know, it's just everybody's kind of making their own decisions and or waiting to see what other people are going to do. And there's just no uniformity across, you know, the land, across the country on what's going to happen. And it's very strange. It wouldn't surprise you. It sounds like, you know, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 might kind of go hand in hand, but, you know, the SEC seems like they might be willing to try things on their own. I mean, could you imagine if the Pac-12 decides, all right, we're not going to play, it's not safe, we don't think it's safe to play, and yet the ACC and the SEC might be playing? I mean, that's just a really strange situation. I would be surprised if that happens, but it seems like right now, you know, everyone's just kind of looking out for themselves and and making decisions that way, which is really, really strange.
This is a strange year. What did you make of the meeting or the apparent meeting between Larry Scott and some players, and Larry Scott being, I guess, Larry Scott in the condescending way? not a shock to you. Any, what were your takeaways?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I wasn't involved in that call, so I mean, I've read the reports like everyone else, and it does sound like that the players came away disappointed in his reaction. It depends. I mean, I felt like, you know, some of the player demands were perfectly reasonable. It's like, for example, having a third party be involved [S2] Sure. [S1] In the COVID testing and all that. I think that makes sense. And then some were, you know, certainly swinging for the fences as far as, you know, splitting the revenue up 50-50 with the players. It's probably, I mean, no matter what can be done in a short amount of time, I think probably the conference needs to be a little sympathetic in these times, at least initially, to say, let's hear you out. I don't know how it unfolded, but I know it certainly, the way it was reflected in media reports, was not real encouraging for the player aspect of it. And, you know, right now, you know, you got to think, you know, college and universities are asking players to possibly play if they do go that direction, because they know what's at stake. The players know what's at stake now, that there's a lot of money riding on their shoulders, and, you know, they deserve to have a voice at this table. That's been long overdue. I don't know how that should shape out, but I don't blame them for speaking out.
You know, I just what you're saying there at the end, I mean, it's, once we get through this, it's all going to look different, isn't it?
I don't see how it will look like it has last year. I feel like with going forward, it's, you know, I don't know if everybody, if it'll just be the power conferences and one big, huge, you know, division or subdivision, and the lower conferences will be battling amongst themselves. You know, it just seems like right now, with, you know, the money involved in the testing that's required to pull any of this off, some schools have the resources to do it, others do not, and that's going to be a dividing line. You know, and then as we learn more about the virus, I mean, how is that going to change things? And you think at some point, you know, down the line, and I don't know how soon we're going to get there, that, you know, they are going to need some sort of player representation. And whether it's not you pay them to play, I don't know if that's the answer, but it just seems like we're heading toward that. And I know there's been a lot of changes, very small steps over the last few years, especially with, you know, as far as, you know, players going out and being able to make money off of, you know, their signature, their autograph, or anything like that. But it just seems like that if you're going to ask players to, you know, to take all the risk, that you're going to need to compensate them more than just what they're getting with their scholarship and cost of tuition.
So when the schedule came out, a week or so ago, Arizona faces Arizona State in the first game. Down here, it was kind of like, that was kind of strange. What was the reaction up there? And I would assume, turn off your mic, turn off your earphones, Jay, that people at ASU were like chopping at the bit. Yes, we got it.
ASU fans are expecting a pretty big season this year. So yeah, they were happy to see that. right off the bat. You know, I feel like if you're going to change things, let's get crazy with it. Let's be creative. I think that's a good thing. But you know, also, I think what you're seeing at a lot of conferences across the country as they release their schedules, they want to make sure they get those rivalry games in. So I think that's why you're seeing so many of them scheduled within the first month or 6 weeks of the season, just to be safe to try to get them in. But you know, sports fans have been through so much since the end, we were in Las Vegas and had the Pac-12 tournament canceled. I mean, and then March Madness just kind of yanked out from under us. I think this would be, as far as the in-state, the Arizona fans, I think it's a good way to start college football season if we get to that point, to have, you know, to kind of go from zero to, you know, 85, you know, with a game like that where there's so much emotion. I don't know what the football would look like with all the starts and stops and, you know, all the, you know, lack of preparation, or at least, you know, it hasn't been the same as it has been in the past. But I do like the idea. I think it'll be good.
So, I mean, if we think there's going to be a college football season, are you good with, you know, let's say crowning a champion with 7 or 8 games?
I have no idea how that would work. And especially if it's, you know, if this team in this conference played 7 games and this team only played 5, and then you go to maybe the SEC or the ACC and they play 10, I don't know how you work that out. It might just be a situation to where you just crown conference champions. I don't know. There are a million questions. Yeah. I would love just to get to the point to where, you know, we can ask that question, you know, who's the best team in college football. I don't know if we'll get to that this year. I don't know if we'll get to the spring. And, you know, then there's questions if they do push it to the spring, how is that going to work with, you know, with the NFL draft, with players possibly opting out, with squeezing, you know, what comes to 2 seasons in a short, you know, and almost, you know, a little over a year. I mean, there's just so many huge questions. And it seems like we're going to start getting answers on it soon. But, you know, things change in this sport so quickly, it's hard to know what to expect.
Doug, I'm hoping you stick around with us on the other side of the break real quick, talk about ASU basketball and stuff. But are we going to find out if there's going to be a Pac-12 season at all? What do you think?
I think there will be some sort of announcement. I don't know if they'll pull the plug completely, but I think there will be an announcement because they are scheduled to meet. And I think they'll have some sort of announcement on what they're planning to do.
Right. That's not the answer I wanted. That's not the answer. Hey, let's take a break here. Come back and talk about ASU basketball, U of A basketball, stuff like that here on 1030 The Voice.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
Camille Rivas Rutherford with Coldwell Banker Realty has been one of the top producing real estate agents in Tucson, Oro Valley, Marana, and Vail for more than 20 years. Let her help you find your dream home in southern Arizona. Her passion and enthusiasm for real estate has helped her become one of the most respected and trusted realtors in the area. And she was recently named a recipient of Coldwell Banker's 2019 International President Circle Award. Camille's approach to sales and marketing and selling or buying a home is second to none. Give her a call at 520-250-5192.
Welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And on the phone, we have Doug Haller of The Athletic. So, Doug, I understand that the ASU basketball program is doing fairly well, and Coach Hurley is doing a great job. I know he met with the media about a week or so ago, and a lot of good things coming out of the program. I'm kind of being facetious, of course, because I know they're going to be pretty good.
Yeah, they have some talent. You know, it was kind of falling into place with Josh getting Josh Christopher, who's a top 10 high school talent, considered a, you know, one of the better pure scorers in high school basketball last year. And then, you know, getting Alonzo Virch, who tested the draft waters, getting him back. And then the big one was Remy Martin. And, you know, Remy, when he made his decision, he made it sound like, you know, he made his announcement, and, you know, it read like a, you know, farewell. I'm leaving. I'm gone. I'm chasing my dreams. And you know, at the time, it seemed like, okay, he's just going to try this, and but he's coming back. But as it went on, you know, everything I was hearing was that, you know, he was pretty torn on that, but he was giving it everything he had. And you know, I talked to his dad and went down to the last day. But, you know, they have a lot of talent, but I really think they needed Remy back to make it all work. You know, on paper, it looks great. How it unfolds on the court, I don't know. They have some things to figure out, but they do have as much talent that they've had since I've covered them, which is about for the last 10 years or so.
Well, I was just about to say, be careful what you wish for, because if you're bringing in all these, you know, five-star recruits and stuff, it hasn't gotten Arizona to the Final Four recently. So, you know, let's see what happens. But let me ask you this: how's Kurt Turley as a guy? You know, as a, you know, somebody to deal with. I you know, I don't know if you know. I'm on the stat crew for men's basketball at the U of A, so I see him, you know, twice, well, once a year, and he's kind of a rowdy guy. But what you know, what's he like to work with?
He's great to work with. He's about as, I mean, he's extremely cooperative. He's accessible. Just a nice guy to work with. As you know, the beat reporter coach relationship, he's great.
Right.
But I tell you what, when he goes onto the court, and I know it's a cliche to say a flip switches, but people ask me about Bobby's on court behavior a lot, and you know, he was a grinder coming up as a player, and he had to, when he played at St. Anthony and then at Duke, he had to create enemies. And usually it was the guy he was guarding, the opposing point guard. That's who he hated. As a coach, he can't do that. So he takes it, his enemies become the officials. Sometimes it's been the media. Sometimes it's been me. Sometimes it's been me. Sometimes it's the opposing coach. He has barked at the opposing coach. That's just his process. That's how he competes. And, you know, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, I was going back looking through the archives. I was looking up some stuff on Remy Martin a few weeks ago, and I came across a story. It was an exhibition game, or his second year maybe, you know, and they were up 35 in a game that didn't matter, and he picked up a technical foul. You know, that's just the way he competes. And a lot of coaches are like that. But, you know, it's been in his blood. His dad's like that. His brother's like that. Danny Hurley at UConn. You know, it just doesn't matter. When he goes out there, he creates enemies, and he is all fire.
Yeah.
You've covered ASU more recently than you have U of A, but you've covered U of A a time or two over the last few years, obviously coming down for bigger stories with Sean. What do you make of the program now, such that it is? It's still among the better ones, but it's not what it used to be.
It's not, and it's kind of hard to figure out why, because of the talent and that Sean has brought in. I think it's something that you guys just hit on just a few minutes ago, and that's, you know, managing five-star prospects, five-star talent. And as you guys know probably better than me, that when you do bring in these one-and-done guys, you know, you're managing two different agendas. You know, you're managing the team aspect and trying to maximize your team, and then you're also managing, you know, a player who has, you know, goals to get out of town as soon as he can. And you know, I think that creates a lot of problems, because when you have guys who are going to be around for 2 or 3 years, you know, you don't have that external pressure. And I know you know, sometimes outside influences kind of creep in, and it just seems like that's kind of gotten the best of Arizona at times. You guys would know that better than I do, but I do know it's a hard thing to manage. You know, I grew up, you know, I went to Indiana University, where Archie Miller, Sean's brother, you know, dealt with a Romeo Langford. It's just a different animal when you have these one and done guys, just because there are different expectations from the player and then the team. And then, you know, sometimes those two things don't merge. You know, people ask me if I think Arizona's still a national power. I think they're still an elite program, even though obviously there are a lot of factors involved in their recent slip and how they've slipped, but they're still getting talent. I'm really interested to see how this coming season, if it unfolds, how it goes with Sean, the fact that he, you know, went a different direction with recruiting and they have so many different guys coming in.
So, how, you know, we talked about how it's all going to be different, you know, on the college football side. Mm-hmm. What about the college basketball side with everything that's going on, you know, the name, image, likeness stuff and all that kind of stuff? I mean, To me, the sensible way to deal with this is to just get rid of the one and done and let high school players go to the NBA and let college players come here and be here for a while. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, that to me is a common sense thing. It would seem like that would just help out. If a player is good enough and he can go and do well in the NBA, or if he has a chance to go in the NBA, why not let him? I know that's an NBA rule, and you know there's been some chatter about that possibly changing, but I think you know the sooner the better I think that would help out. I think college coaches, you know, from some that I've talked to, would welcome that. So that would be, I think that would be a positive, you know, as far as, you know, just with the whole COVID stuff. I mean, if there's no football season, there's not going to be any non-conference basketball season. I can't imagine there would be, at the very minimum, I don't think we'd see college basketball till January. You know, they're not going to cancel the fall sports season and then have college basketball start up on time in November. That doesn't make sense. So, but yeah, I think that would be a good step in the right direction, just eliminating the one and done. Hopefully we're getting closer to that. I know it's been, you know, discussed over the last year or so, and I think that day is coming. I just, you know, college sports these days moves so slowly. You know, it would just be nice if it got here quicker or sooner than what it will.
Yeah, no question. And who knows if we'll have spectators in the arenas come January, or for sure for football, because even if we wait till October, maybe October 1st, there's no guarantee for students and or spectators in the arenas or stadiums.
Yeah, and I would think, you know, football might have a better chance just because, you know, it's outdoors and you could space people out a little bit better than what you could inside of a, you know, a cramped arena. But, you know, that's a good point, and I think that's gotten lost, Steve, recently, that, you know, everyone's focused on whether or not we'll even have a season. It's, you know, there's probably a slim chance that we'll have spectators for football in any aspect. And then, you know, you talk about basketball, how weird would that be? I mean, I know we're watching it on the NBA, you know, right now, but, just thinking about being at McHale in an empty arena while there's a basketball game going on, that's hard to envision right now.
That doesn't sound like fun. So, you know, we're all expecting a whole bunch of news to probably come out tomorrow. What's your day going to look like tomorrow?
Well, yeah, today, I mean, it was just so crazy with everything that happened. Was it the Mountain West that first dropped, or I guess the Big Ten news first and then the Mountain West? And I'll be up and I'll probably start making calls and then just kind of see. We have a pretty good team in the Athletic. Our national reporters are pretty dialed in. So they're communicating with us throughout the day about what's going on. I already have some, you know, pre-reported information in case they do pull the plug on what that means as far as Arizona State, the school I cover. None of it sounds good. I mean, if they do say we're going to wait, it just seems like it might be prolonging the inevitable.
Right.
But, you know, and then the big question I have right now is, what does that mean if you do cancel it, or at least push it back to the spring, however you want to word that? What happens to the players now? What do they do? You know, what are their guidelines? You know, there are some who say that, you know, they're more likely to get sick, if the season's not played. I'm not willing to go there. I'm not going to make those projections. But I do think college football might, you know, provide some sort of structure that could help. But, you know, I just think there are so many unknowns right now, it's hard to be optimistic.
Doug, thanks a bunch for joining us. That was very insightful today.
Good luck with your day tomorrow.
Better you than us.
I appreciate you guys having me.
We'll wait to see what you write, and then we'll talk about it, all right?
All right, sounds good, guys.
Thanks a bunch, Doug.
That was Doug Haller of The Athletic. Let's take a quick break. Come back here on 10:30 The Voice.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll free at 888-881-5765.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. That was pretty good, informative information.
I thought it was good. Doug, you know, he's a national writer and works for The Athletic, which is a national publication. He does cover Phoenix area sports, and you know, but guys like that, you know, they're in touch with all kinds of people. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, he's got a lot of work to do to figure out, you know, if a Pac-12 makes some sort of announcement tomorrow, he's got a lot of work to do to figure out, okay, how does this affect the Pac-12, how does it, you know, affect ASU? His readers are going to want to know not just the ASU angle, but the Pac-12 angle, and then the national angle. So there's a lot of work to do right there. It's not an easy thing. I was just thinking about this during the break. I kind of compared almost to a coaching search, which I fortunately didn't have to do during my time as a sports writer. Having to do, you know, a major college football or basketball coaching search, where you're literally on the phone. You know, mm-hmm. back then it was, you know, you were on the phone 24 hours a day calling everybody you know because you don't want to get beat on mm-hmm. on the story. It's the same kind of thing. You know, right now people are calling everybody that they know to try to find out what's going to happen mm-hmm. at that Pac-12 president's meeting tomorrow so they can report that.
He didn't answer my question when I kind of asked that question because we talked about things have been fluid in the last 12 right. hours where people were saying it's going to be canceled
right.
Or postponed or whatever the words are used. Now, in the last hour or so, we've heard that it could be just stretched out or just buying more time.
Right, just buying more time.
Where are you going with this?
I think they're going to buy more time. And as the day has gone on, and again, this is... The craziness of this is that it's an hour by hour, sometimes minute by minute thing.
Right, right.
And so today, as I've read stuff, and look, I'm not making phone calls. Mm-hmm. I'm not calling up sources and trying to, I mean, sure. I've talked to a couple of people, but I'm getting my stuff where everybody else is getting sure. their stuff, and I'm formulating my opinion from that.
And you're getting it from believable, right. credible sources.
And yes, I am texting, but most of the people that I'm texting are media friends of mine who, right. those are the guys making the phone calls, and in some cases, they're sharing some of their information, and in some cases they're not. The opinion that I've developed over the course of the day now is that the Pac-12 tomorrow is going to announce that, you know, they're just going to hold things up somewhere. They're going to delay the start of practice because practice was supposed to start a week from today.
Correct.
So I think that, you know, the season is technically supposed to start September 26th. So they gave themselves 6 weeks to get, you know, to get themselves ready for that. I think they're going to go ahead and push it back even further and just say, look, we're not even going to start practicing until the beginning of September. They might even still start the schedule at the same time, or they may already wipe out that first weekend of games and just push those into the open dates that they already set up.
That's what I was going to say. They're going to have to rework the schedule they just came right. out with.
Yeah, or maybe they shorten it. Maybe they say, you know what? We're going to give ourselves some more time. We're cutting 2 games off the schedule. We're going 8 games now.
That we definitely want to play in the fall.
Exactly.
Under any circumstances.
You know what? To me, that's a logical solution.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
you know, now you're saying, okay, 10 games was a little ambitious. Let's go 8 games. Let's buy ourselves a few more weeks. And if we get to that point, now we got to cancel, and we cancel.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they want to give it every chance that they can give it.
Right. There's no question about that. When's that meeting tomorrow?
It's late in the afternoon. It's like 5:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, really?
So
all day. We'll be here again tomorrow.
But I guarantee you there's going to be stuff leaking out of there.
Of course.
About what's going to happen. But until it happens, we're not going to know what's happening.
Right, right. Maybe we'll get that information as we're on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, so, you know, stuff might start getting spit out as right in the middle of our show. You know, our show comes on at 6. It may be, you know, they may already know what they're going to do and they just have to vote on it or something. Who knows?
Right, right. We have 10 minutes left in this segment here for the end of the show. Really quick, you talked about Tony Fields, former U of A linebacker, a big key in the cog for this team. He left the team about a month or so ago, and now he's going to West Virginia?
Yeah, he signed on in West Virginia where Scotty, what's his name?
The assistant coach?
The other player.
Oh, Young?
Scotty Young.
Yeah.
Scotty Young went there and they followed the defensive coach, Adai, that was
that
here.
That makes total sense.
So the two of them went there. Clearly there's some sort of a connection there, and that's fine. If they have a connection and, you know, that's how they want to spend their last year of college football, knock yourself out. I'm not going to sit here and say that I hope West Virginia sucks.
But deep down, I know what you're thinking.
No, and you know, I don't want to be a hypocrite about this. I've always said, you know, about various transfers over the years. Mm-hmm. If they don't want to be here, then I don't want them to be here.
Right, right.
And so if Tony Fields didn't want to be here, then don't be here. Good luck wherever you go.
Well, we talked about this maybe a week or so ago when there was a report. He talked to people. He says, well, he saw the writing on the wall. It wasn't going to be what he thought. All this stuff going on. Right. I'm going to do what's best for me. It's funny. Doug talked about this. It's we're in a time where everyone's out for themselves.
Right.
Not as it should be, but it should be that way.
Kind of.
Because we're living in a weird time.
Look, and you know, an athlete like Tony Fields, he's got some hopes to be in the NFL, but the more likely scenario was that he's going to have probably barely a career in the NFL. He might get a tryout.
Yeah.
He's not an elite guy that's, you know, he wasn't on a preseason All-America list or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
So he
tell me how you feel, Jay.
But he's going to, you know, he's going to try and give himself his best opportunity.
Yeah, I know.
And so that's fine.
Right.
And the point I was trying to make with that is he's trying to make his last year, what could potentially be his last year as a football player, the best it can be for him. So go ahead. I hope it goes well for you. You know, I tend to think that it's going to be much harder for him to go to a place like West Virginia and get what he's hoping out of it than if he had stayed at Arizona. But if you think that, you know, what's best for you is that, knock yourself out. I wish you all the best. And, you know, look, I'll put on a West Virginia game to see how he's doing, to see if he's playing and if he's getting playing time. And
Don't forget about Scotty Young.
Both of them. See if they're getting any attention. And, you know, when the draft rolls around, I'll see if, you know, if they get drafted, if they get a chance somewhere. And, I hope they do. I don't wish them bad. If they'd gone to ASU, that's a whole different story, right? You know, or even if they'd gone to
UCLA.
If they'd gone to another Pac-12 school, now that changes the game for me. Now I'm pissed at you.
Yeah. So we need to get Terry Francona back on the show. You know why? Two of his guys have gotten bonkers and screwed up.
I can only imagine how his head exploded when he found out that two of his pitchers blew protocol to go hang out with some buddies
in Chicago.
Can you imagine? I mean, we talked about,
what can you not do?
What can you do and what can you not do? And how, you know, they just got to really, you know, follow what they're... When I read that those guys were both from Cleveland, and then I read that they went to a... They just blew it and went to a buddy's house. I'm like, oh, my God. What are you guys doing?
Right.
It drives me nuts. Drives me nuts. But, yeah, can you imagine?
Could you imagine? But let me tell you something. Not that this is the human condition. So we have football players in this town who are going to be 18, 19, 20. It's going to be okay. Shh. Don't. Shh.
No, I think it's going to be hard. But on that one, you have to be prepared to deal with these guys that go do something.
Yeah.
They are. Mm-hmm. There's no way they're not. There's just no way that they're not. So, you know, there have to be things in place to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big issue.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think we've heard the coaches say, we expect stuff to happen. You know, we don't expect to get through a season clean with no positive tests and not having to quarantine guys and stuff like that. I mean, we keep seeing stuff on social media about, I think I saw one today that Oregon State hasn't had a positive test in 2 or 3 weeks or something like that.
That's good.
You know, and that's great. It's great to hear that. But you know what? The students aren't on campus yet, and you're still not practicing yet.
And I think they're on a quarter system. I think they show right. up later. Let me say this, too. So how would you feel? Some players have been here since July-ish.
Right.
You know, the first wave that came right. in, and then the second wave came, third wave. And now you've been here this long, and guess what you're not doing? You're not practicing.
Still not practicing. It's hard. It's hard. And look, if you don't want to deal with this, then don't.
Mm-hmm.
If it's too much, opt out. Don't risk everybody else because you're bored, you're tired, you're sick of the isolation.
Right.
If you're sick of the isolation and don't want to do any of that stuff anymore, then opt out and get out of the way.
Well, Saban said today that he thinks that the players are better off at the university under those conditions than doing whatever they're doing.
Well, that's been a little bit of the narrative. That's what Trevor Lawrence tweeted last night.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback from Clemson, who is essentially the highest profile player in college football. And he came out and he basically said that. He said, there's guys who won't have anywhere to go. They're going to go home. Well, not won't have anywhere to go, but they're going to go home and they're going to be in a more risky environment than if they stay here. So let's just do this. And that was his point, and that's the point of a lot of people. And you know, others have said that. John Wilner said that a couple of times when he came on our show, that the safest place for these guys, remember we asked him would you let your kid play
if you had
a kid going to be a freshman football player at, you know, a college,
wherever,
would you let him go? And he said absolutely. He said, because I know that if he's in that environment, he's in a better place than if he wasn't, than if he was living in a dorm with three guys or whatever.
Right, right.
So yeah, certainly that's that has to be a consideration.
I don't want to end this show on a down note, but let's go here anyway, just to see how the how the curmudgeon of the group talks. You said 9-8% last week. Where are you at now?
Dropping like a hot rock, Steve. Dropping like a hot rock. Here's the thing. I just, because I know we're running short on time, I just got a couple quick points I want to make. Number one, conferences and the NCAA don't want the blood on their hands, metaphorically, if something does happen to these kids. That's why I think they will cancel. Number two, I think there is a different standard, believe it or not, that I will apply to pro athletes and college athletes. In college, you have different things going on. You have classes, you have clubs, you have activities, and football is part of that, or baseball or basketball. If you're a pro athlete, you have one job, and that is to show up and compete for your team to the best of your ability. And if you skip to go hang with your buddies in Chicago, to me, that is 10 times more heinous than a college kid going to a frat party.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
I agree too.
But I think I should know this, but who's your favorite hockey team?
I don't have one anymore, Jay. I've worked in hockey too long. It's been driven out of me. I can't really be, I don't root for anybody anymore.
Okay, because I was going to ask you, because if you continue to badmouth college football like this, I was going to go lay a bet on your favorite hockey team, and everybody around me knows that I am the kiss of death.
He is.
I have my own hashtag on that. So
That's awesome. Congratulations, I guess. But I'm not bagging on college football. That was actually a positive comment on college football.
Yes,
as far
was.
As, like, I think the athletes, I do think the athletes get a bit of a pass because they are kids, and pro athletes should not get that pass.
Right.
If I were seeing those two guys leave from Cleveland, they'd be out for the year. They would never touch a field again for me.
That's what I think. I think you do that, you're suspended for the rest of the season.
Well, it could be. Who
by,
knows?
By the team, you know, not by
sure,
the league, by
sure,
the
sure.
team. The team says, sure, you know, you might as well have been doing steroids. Get the hell out of here.
What's that thing, stupid is the stupid does? Yeah. Well, you had me at dropping like rocks there.
Yeah, no, I just, it's getting harder and harder because, you know, Steve, whether we think it's right or not to have the kids on campus and play, the dominoes are falling.
Oh,
and
yeah,
sure. It's too late.
Now they're just trying to prolong the dominoes from falling.
Well, regardless of what the Pac-12 has in mind, I think a lot of it is going to depend on what the Big Ten does. I think if the Big Ten calls it quits, that the Pac-12 might do
that.
We'll
know by tomorrow.
But I hope not. I hope the Pac-12 decides to do what's best for the Pac-12 and not what the Big Ten is doing.
Well, we should know by tomorrow then.
I think, you know, we may find out in the middle of our show.
Yeah, tomorrow, yes. Hey, thanks everybody. Good show today.
Hey, thanks a bunch. We'll see you tomorrow. Should be a big day.